Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, we're just 3 days away from a possible government shutdown, and yet things feel as intractable as ever in Washington. There's no deal on DACA or immigration more broadly or border security. President Trump tweeted today, quote, "The Democrats want to shut down the government over amnesty for all and border security," end quote. But Democrats say it's the GOP that holds all the cards because the GOP holds the House, the Senate, and the White House. Here's Senator Ed Markey earlier today in an interview with WBUR.
That's their choice. We're ready to sit and negotiate with them, but they thus far have actually acted in a very obstinate way that unfortunately I think is going to lead to a showdown on Thursday night and Friday of this week.
Well, let's get the view from another member of the Massachusetts delegation. Congressman Jim McGovern joins us now. He's on the line from Washington. Congressman, it's good to have you back.
Happy to be with you.
So are things obstinate and intractable and feel as hopeless as they do right now? Do you agree?
Well, we all feel very frustrated because, quite frankly, nobody knows what's going on because the Republicans are once again negotiating with themselves behind closed doors. The president, talks about immigration as the stumbling block. Well, that's one of the stumbling blocks, but so is funding for children's health. So is funding for community health centers. So is dealing with the caps, the how much we're going to spend on domestic programs. So there are a lot of things, but the normal way to do this is Republicans should sit down with Democrats and we negotiate and we work out something that gets bipartisan support. And unfortunately, that's become a very radical idea in this Republican-controlled Congress.
So tell me a little bit more. When you say that things are being negotiated behind closed doors, are you talking specifically about the continuing resolution that Democrats haven't even seen it at all?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's happening right now. I can't tell you. I don't think anybody on the Democratic side can tell you exactly, whether what kind of continuing resolution we're going to get, what it's going to look like, because the Republicans haven't shared anything with us. Nor have they, invited us to the table, to talk about potential compromise. And so I suspect we will see something that they will want to pass only with Republican votes and try to ram it through the House and then get it through the Senate and on the president's desk. But then again, this will be another short-term continuing resolution. This will be the fourth CR so far, and I suspect it will not be the last.
Right. Okay. So, I think many listeners out there are saying, once again, this isn't or this shouldn't be how policy, spending, government in general gets done. But it does seem to be how things are working how things are getting done in Washington right now. I mean, tell me, how long is this tenable, Congressman? I mean, it doesn't feel like a functioning democracy if we're making decisions on billions and billions and billion dollars of spending behind closed doors.
Right. It is correct to characterize the Congress as dysfunctional. And again, one of the reasons why it is dysfunctional, and let me speak for the House because that's where I am, is because the Republican leadership led by Speaker Ryan believes in this my way or the highway approach. There's no deliberation. There's no negotiations. There are no compromises. There's nothing. We see bills, whether it's continuing resolutions or whether it's a tax bill or even their repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act. You know, we see the language maybe a matter of hours before they rush it to the floor, and then we're asked to vote yes or no, up or down, with no amendments. That is, I think, undercutting our democracy. That is undercutting the integrity of the Congress. And that when you have this very closed, narrow-minded process, you end up with lousy legislation. Mm-hmm. This has to stop. And I tell my Republican friends all the time, if the American people could sue them for political malpractice, they'd be in a lot of trouble because they are guilty of political malpractice. This is untenable. This is unacceptable. I mean, we ought to be able to pass budgets and appropriations bills that give people across the country certainty about where the funding will be for an entire year, not a matter of a few weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And this has to stop.
Congressman, so let me ask you, let's get down to brass tacks here. Presuming given all that you've just said, this is a large presumption, but presuming a continuing resolution does come to the House floor for a vote, for you specifically, what are your red lines? If you saw no DACA agreement, would that be something that would be a red line for you?
Well, I mean, if I would at least have to be assured that if there's not a DACA agreement as part of a short-term CR, which may only last for a couple of weeks, that, in fact, we're on our way to getting something, that there is a legitimate negotiation going on to resolve this. Now, look, I mean, Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican, and Senator Dick Durbin, a Democrat, and other Democrats and Republicans, you did what President Obama wanted. They came up with a bipartisan compromise to help the DACA recipients, as well as many of the people who lost their TPS as a result of the Trump administration's recently reversal on that. And you know, and it had some things in it that, quite frankly, some of us are uncomfortable with, but nonetheless, it was a compromise. And the president seemed enthusiastic about it when they first proposed it to him, and then 2 hours later, he was hostile to it. So I don't know what it's going to take to get to a deal on DACA, but I will tell you this. It is cruel, and it betrays the best traditions and values of this country for us to treat these people, over 800,000 people who have come here when they were young, who have contributed to our communities, who have, some of them are the first responders who saved lives in the aftermath of these hurricanes, people who are valued members of this community. It disrespects the very traditions of this country to treat them so terribly.
So, you know, I mean, I take your point on that, but just to go back to sort of what your red lines are, I mean, you heard me read this tweet from the president. He tweeted earlier today, quote, "The Democrats want to shut the government over amnesty and for all and border security."
Well, if we don't have a DACA deal, or if we're not on our way to a DACA deal, I'm not voting for a continuing resolution. And by the way, the Democrats, I wish we had all the power that the president said we did, but we're not in control. Last time I checked, the Republicans controlled the House and Senate, and unfortunately, they're in charge of the White House.
Right.
So, I get it. I mean, but the problem right now is the Republicans are fighting even amongst themselves.
Correct. Over military spending, right?
And
sequestration.
And even over immigration. I mean, because you have Republicans who are so xenophobic, who have said no to everything, that they can't ever find themselves coming to yes on anything. So if you're going to have a deal on this, then Democrats are going to have to be part of the deal. And we ought to just get this done. I thought Senator Graham, a Republican, today, questioning the Secretary of Homeland Security, was very, very compelling.
Well, hang on there for a second, Congressman, because I just want to play the tape of exactly that moment. Right. We've got it. Here's Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Republican, again, talking to reporters about when he spoke to the president on Tuesday of last week. This is Lindsey Graham saying that he thought at that time the president seemed more open to negotiations over immigration and border security.
And somehow by 12 o'clock on Thursday, something happened. And I don't think he was well served by his staff, but he's responsible for the way he conducts himself. And so am I. Can't blame that on the staff, but I do believe his staff was pretty much missed the mark here.
And later, reporters asked him if he was referring to John Kelly, White House Chief of Staff, and Senator Graham said Kelly is part of the staff. So the point that you were trying to make, Congressman?
Yeah, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is that, Trump says he's interested in a deal, but when a deal is presented to him that's bipartisan, that's balanced, you know, the extremists on his staff derail it. Which tells you that you can't trust anything the president says. I mean, he says one thing at 10 o'clock and he says something different at 12 o'clock. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to negotiate with somebody, you need to negotiate in good faith. And I don't think the president knows how to negotiate, and especially when it comes to matters like this. And again, it is so sad to me that as a result of the president's decision to basically unravel DACA and Congress's inability to come to a deal with this White House, that over 800,000 lives have been thrown into turmoil. And that's a rotten, terrible thing to do to these people.
Congressman, since you said the words extremists on the president's staff, are you referring to John Kelly as an extremist on immigration?
I'm feeling this guy, Stephen Miller. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And I blame John Kelly, too, because he's the chief of staff. And at some point, you know, he has – if he indeed – shares different views, if he is more sympathetic to the bipartisan wishes of Congress, then he ought to show it. because I blame him as well. I think anybody who has the presidency or who did not intervene and say, take this deal, you know, help these people, let's move on to the next item, you know, those people all deserve to be held accountable.
Congressman, we talked about sort of where your red lines were over immigration and DACA, but let me just ask you the same question about border security. Sort of what's your zone of negotiation there?
Well, look, I mean, the notion that Democrats are not interested in border security is ridiculous. We want to support our border patrol. We want, there to be what is necessary to protect our borders. But we think investing $20 billion in a stupid wall is a ridiculous waste of money. And it's not effective. Ladders are cheaper than walls. I don't know of a wall that's built anywhere in the world that people haven't been able to dig under, you know, or climb over. And the real challenge of immigration, especially from Central America, you know, is not about walls, or it's even not about, you know, the border security. It is about the turmoil that exists in countries like El Salvador and Honduras. I mean, El Salvador has become even a more dangerous place today in terms of violence than it was during the war, during the 1980s. If we're really interested in trying to, you know, deal with the immigration issue in a long-term way, we're going to have to understand that part of it is helping create stability in some of these countries in Latin America that right now are in turmoil.
Congressman, I just want to jump in here because we just got under a minute to go. And one final question I want to ask you. I mean, I don't know if there's an answer to this question, but I'm curious. It seems like with every day that we progress through the month of January 2018, I more and more want to know, how are we going to get cooler heads to prevail in Congress and in Washington?
Well, I mean, I would say I think there are some cool heads in Washington. Unfortunately, those aren't the ones who are calling the shots right now. And what you saw unveiled last week in terms of DACA was a reasonable, rational compromise between Democrats and Republicans. That's the way it's supposed to work. And unfortunately got shot down at the White House. So, look, I mean, there are people trying to do the right stuff. There are people working in a bipartisan way. There are people who care deeply about these dreamers. And unfortunately, we're getting our legs cut off by the White House. And I think that is where the problem is. This president can't keep his word. This president can't help but lie. He doesn't even know the facts. I mean, he keeps on talking about the dreamers as if somehow they were all gang members. Understand this. Everybody who's a DACA recipient has had to go through a background check, has had to obey the laws of this land. I mean, he's mixing all these different things up, all basically to please a narrow, small political base. And I think it's, quite frankly, unfortunate. And again, I think it diminishes our country.
Well, Congressman Jim McGovern, he's on the line with us today from Washington. Congressman, thanks so very much.
Good to be with you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.